Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Todd Lamentz. He is author of Lose Your Ego, Gain the World, a nonfiction self-help book that offers a fresh perspective on controlling ego. A motivating and inspiring book, Lose Your Ego, Gain the World, will provide you with tools and perception that will significantly change your life if applied properly. The chapters in the book are packed with crucial intangible tools and life-tested practical guidance that can be used over and over again to build your personal well-being and future success. Todd is a business and motivational speaker with a specialization in personal and business accountability. He is also an expert in ego control and keeping things in proper perspective. Todd has received national speaker awards and has spoken to more than 500 huge corporations. He has mentored CEO-level executives, conducted hands-on training with mid-level managers, and is an expert in helping struggling companies restore their productivity. Todd has also authored three books, Think Thin, Feel Amazing, Leverage Your Life, and again, what we're talking about today, Lose Your Ego, Gain the World. For more information, you can visit Todd's website, which is www.toddlamentzauthor.com, and I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Todd to the show. Hey, Todd.
Good afternoon, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you, and we've got a nice, clear connection, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with you today.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
I'm putting my ego aside a little bit for today's show.
I know it's hard for radio stars such as yourself to do that.
That's never been a problem of mine. But well, listen, I really like what you offer. There's a lot of things I'd like to talk about. First of all, what we're going to do is maybe first talk a little bit about ego and egoism, a little bit about your backstory, because it seems like you have a story that has really, you know what you're talking about when it comes to ego. And then we're going to take a short break at the bottom of the hour, and I do want to invite people listening, if you would like to call in and ask Todd any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359, or for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have a question that you would like for me to pose to Todd, feel free to type it in, and right after the break, we'll get to that. And then, Todd, let's go ahead and first start talking about ego. You talk about losing the ego, and you don't really mean lose it, really, do you? And so if you wouldn't mind talking just a little bit about, you know, how it is that you came so focused on the idea of the ego and really how it affects us in our life.
Well, for me in my life, and kind of I'll keep it real short, my backstory. I have a lot of success very young in my career, and I kind of got a sense of entitlement. I got very egotistical and very, I thought I deserved everything. I thought the reason I had what I had was because I was smarter than everybody else. And then, you know, I think during the recession, a lot of people felt the pain of realizing that these secure jobs and these secured businesses that had got them where they are were all of a sudden overnight taken away. So to me, it taught me some real humility, and that's kind of what the subject, that's the basis of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I noticed right in the kind of in the beginning of your book, you talk a little about, you know, you do a definition of what ego is, and then also the what an egotist is and what egoism is. So, I mean, it seems like there's a, you know, when you move from just flat ego to talking about, you know, an egotist, you know, I mean, that's kind of where things start to go amiss, when they start to have an overfocus on ego.
Absolutely. And I kind of say it's kind of a street term. We start to believe your own BS. And a lot of people, we insulate ourselves with people who will tell us what we want to hear. You know, and a lot of times those are your family members or your friends. And, you know, usually when you're asking advice, it's because you know what the response is going to be from those people. We all kind of instinctively know how to handle certain situations. We just want someone to tell us it's okay to do it however we want to do it. So, you know, in my career, I had had a lot of people that had helped me. And I found a lot of my research with successful people. A lot of times they'll talk a lot about the hard times they've been through and all the tough times, but they don't talk about all the breaks and the blessings they've also had. And that's as much of the story as just how tough you had it, you know, the uphill, the school both ways, and the woe me. So really, if you're going to tell the story, tell the whole story, the good and the bad. But the good's important,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is. It is. And but do you think that the reason maybe some of the successful people talk most often about the challenges and overcoming, because that's one of those things. I mean, that's kind of where we kind of learn our lesson, you know, things that we've, you know, really
absolutely.
Kind of. Okay.
It does. You do, you know, and that's, I talk a lot about that in the book, is that you only learn when you lose. You don't seem to learn when you're winning. You know, when you're winning, you kind of kick back and you like to party, and it's when things get tough, that's when you kind of find out what you're made of. So I do. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Now, with the idea of losing, you know, losing the ego. When I did read a little bit about your backstory, and it seems like, you know, you had early on in life life circumstances that kind of, you know, really forced you to, you know, kind of work hard. You know, and you really kind of keep a focus on establishing a strong work ethic.
I learned that a lot from my parents, and my stepfather was extremely hard worker. I come from a family of just workaholics, and it didn't mean that we had a lot, but they were just very extremely hard workers. And I always make the joke of, you know, hard workers don't say they're hard workers, just like great parents don't say that they're great parents. So if you find yourself saying those things, you're probably not either one. And but at 17 years old, you know, a D student in high school and no prospects of anything, and my parents are talking, pushing me out the door to go start my life. So, yeah, it was hard in the beginning, and but that made me a lot of who I was, and having to do things has gotten me a long ways.
Yeah. So when, you know, as you were going through your career building, you know, and you built up, you know, quite a career, during those successes, would you say that was when that strong sense of ego was developed?
It did. I think I just had an appetite for excess. You know, it seemed like I started to eat more. I started to drink more. I started to, instead of go out one night a week, I'd go out 8 nights a week. I just didn't seem to, instead of buying a new car every 5 years, I seemed to have to buy a new car every few months. I had a hard time, you know, managing, I guess you would say success, or just managing my life. And I found myself very miserable, and I made all the people around me, my employees, I made my ex-wife, my stepkids, I made everyone miserable in the process. So I spread the love around, I guess you would say.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it seems like that, you know, as we go through, I mean, you know, here you people, I think, are, you know, trying to, you know, build success in their business, but also maintain a balance of, maintain balance, in their life. And it seems that, that's kind of a critical element in keeping the ego healthy.
Absolutely, and keeping the right perspective. True balance, like everyone I know who's had success in any part of their life, and I don't see success as just being a monetary thing. The reason why a lot of people bring up the money part is because you can measure money. It's hard to measure family success and peace of mind and that kind of thing, but money you can measure. And the people I've studied, people are usually not the best evaluators of why they're where they're at. And so I rarely find someone with perfect balance, and I've yet to meet one. They seem to obsess about something in their life. They seem to have an unhealthy obsession with something going on in their life, whether it's their physical health or just being a workaholic. Or, a lot of times people, they'll consider themselves OCD, but they don't realize that they have control issues. So there's usually a lot more to it. But to get some balance, to be some kind of a well-rounded person is what I, for myself, strive for.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I found also interesting too is you talked about in your backstory aspect. You talked about at a young age being diagnosed with ADD, and it's I had a show with a gentleman from Ireland. I think it was last week or maybe a week and a half ago, and he's on that autism spectrum. And when by the time I was finished with the show, I was exhausted. I was just and it was like, it truly gave me like an insight into that. That diagnosis and the challenges that it provides the individual. So with that type of diagnosis that you had, did it seem that that focus and drive that you had for success, that it was heightened by that condition?
I think I think that condition, and it's very common. I'm glad that it was back in those days instead of now, where they would prescribe you speed and different drugs that probably would have made my life even more hardships. But I you don't have to look around very far to find people that have it tougher than you have. So anytime I think about those kind of problems, I think about people. I'm not saying it's not a disability, but like a true disability who are in wheelchairs or kids with cancer who, I try to keep things in perspective that way. And for me, it really helps me, that I look at I have a friend who is a publisher, and she's a very wise woman, and she's telling me that everybody has a book in them, either something that they've accomplished or something that they've lived through. And I have yet to meet someone who you're talking to, and they're telling you their backstory, and they've been through some amazing things, or they've accomplished some amazing things. And so I try to kind of keep that in my perspective and how I look at my own problems.
Yeah. Well, that is true. And that's the one thing I love about doing the show is because I've run across some people whose stories are, I'm aghast sometimes with what some people have gone through, in life. And, it makes you truly thankful and grateful, that you didn't have that or I didn't have that particular path. It's one of these things where I'm wondering, I have some friends who are involved with individuals whose ego is just a little bit out of control. I guess it gets into that an egotist type of situation where they have a heightened sense of self.
Absolutely. Being delusional is what I call.
Well, whenever you encounter someone like that, what's the best way of kind of dealing with that? With someone who has that kind of perception, you don't want to.
I know exactly what you mean. And you deal with these egos. And, you know, this is the problem. They've gotten a lot of success from being that way. And not all of their successes come from that, but they actually start to believe it. And, you know, I took a few years back, I took this acting class, and the actor in there was telling me that sometimes you just, you know, in life, we're still those little kids inside, and sometimes in life we've been playing the same part so long that we start to buy into who that's real, we really are. And those people, that's not who they really are. The best way for me to handle it is I think of the most difficult person in my family to deal with, and that's my old alcoholic grandfather. And this guy was as mean as a rattlesnake. So I put him as him in, you know, and try to endure them to somebody in my family who is as bad as they are. And that helps me at least get through a conversation or deal with them temporarily.
Okay. Yeah, because I understand confidence, you know, and I think, you know, people who have achieved some success in life, whatever, you know, be it professional, business, or even just in relationships and influence, you know, I appreciate that. Quite honestly, I've had some guests on the show whose ego is just way out of proportion, and to me it's I don't know, it just seems that it's, you know, they just don't have that perspective of really what matters in life. You know.
Yeah, and I struggle with sometimes the engineer types who are very, very cynical. I have a hard time with them, just communicating with them. That they kind of have, so can sometimes have the attitudes, I'm smarter than everybody. I'm so much smarter. And I like to remind them that they're smarter at certain things. You know, I might know how to write, but I don't know how to work on a car. So a mechanic's smarter than me at that. You know, and so I try to kind of put it in perspective for them that way.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I in my earlier career, I was a corporate trainer, and I dealt with programmers, you know, and you know, they did seem to have a sense of heightened importance. You know, and but truly they were just, in many cases, not all, but in many cases, you know, really lacking in social connections because they just spent so much time with their machine.
Absolutely. I was doing some work for a corporate client, and they'd have guests come and visit their facility to try to drive more business. And we put a new policy in that when engineers would come in, instead of having them deal with salespeople who are, you know, slap you on the back, you know, outgoing, they'd have them meet with the other engineer people. And then when salespeople would come from another company, they'd have them meet with the salespeople. And it worked wonderfully because people were with their own kind of people. You know, and we, as humans, we want to be with people who are agreeable with us. That's who we're friends with. We're friends with people who see things like the same sports teams we are, have the same religion we are similar age. That's what we're drawn to. We don't want change. We say we do, but we're more comfortable with people that are like ourselves.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, speaking of that particular aspect, I noticed in your one of the chapters in your book, it really is who you know, you know, and you know, that particular aspect of who you know, and also noticed that your mother had made you read Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. So you know, those two aspects, you know, to me, it seems that, you know, that whole idea of interaction with others and being able to work well together for success is critical. And maybe you kind of have to go beyond a little bit beyond your comfort level of who you would normally feel comfortable with.
Absolutely. And it's not supposed to be easy. You know, when I tell people, you know, working with difficult people at work and working with your bosses, it's your job to get along with your boss, not vice versa. You know, your boss is there to tell you what to do and hold you accountable. If you want to get on their side, you need to learn how to. That Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, smiling, remembering people's names, talking about things people want to talk about. It works even today. I don't know how many years that 70 years old, that book probably. I don't know.
Yeah. It's quite old there, but it's true. And you know, even in like today's social media environment, you know, one thing I've noticed is there's really, I mean, you can really learn a lot about people by just looking at their pages and looking what they talk about. Yeah. You know, and there are people, I mean, I have some, you know, Facebook friends who strictly talk about themselves, you know, and it's everything about themselves, you know.
Right.
And then there are, I know, more than you really want to know. It's a lot of times it's TMI, but then there are people who are out there who, you know, have other people, you know, in their feed, you know, and I mean, it's kind of like it shows more depth to their, I guess, you know, of who they are.
Right. That's absolutely true. And from my own life, I've found a lot of happiness with being doing physical things like exercising, volunteer work. I'm involved with some nonprofits. There's a food bank that I'm very involved in. Humane Society, stuff like that. I've noticed that everyone who's had a lot of success financially knows the importance of giving and being part of community, and it's just kind of instilled in them. People like myself, we have to kind of learn it. We have to follow their lead. And when you start doing it, you know, whether it's whatever it is, you know, more service-oriented things, you kind of get addicted to that, and you don't want to stop.
Yeah, I've whenever I've done volunteer, I mean, again, you know, whenever you do something like that, it really provides the perspective. You know, I mean, if you're, you know, working at a or you volunteer at a food bank, you know, and you see people coming in who just don't know when they're going to get their next meal, you know, that kind of
absolutely
thing. It's it really makes you sit back and be grateful.
You get out of yourself and you see people who have real problems. You know, and I think a lot of times people think, well, they've, you know, these people have made bad choices, but not all of them. Some of them have had, you know, cancer in the family, health problems. There's a lot of different, you know, everyone has had some horrific things happen to them. You know, the fact that they're still alive can be a miracle sometimes. So it's good to see that, and it's good to help. And not that it's easy, because you're tired. You don't feel like doing that, especially after working and traveling. You think there's other things you could do with your time, but you get more out of it than you give, I guess.
Yeah, that does. Now, you know, would you say that, you know, your definition of success has changed over the years? So, I mean, because it seemed like, you know, that early on, you mentioned earlier about success kind of sometimes being measured in dollars and maybe accumulation. So do you find that as you got a little bit better, not better, a little more balanced perspective, that the definition of what success has changed?
I strive to see things for the way that they really are, and not for the way that I perceive they should be or perceived on. It's kind of like if you walk up to me and kick me in the leg and I say, I get, well, he's resented me all these years, he doesn't like me, this and that, when really you just walked up and kicked me. You know, I try to see things for the way that they really are, and that helps me. I think for me it's important to, you know, to better my lot, to reach as many people, you know, and speak to as many people as I can. I like to do training, and I love self-help stuff, so doing stuff like this is a lot of fun. And that's my calling. So I'm blessed that I'm doing what I really am meant to do. Finally.
Yeah.
but you needed that background and all of that life experience as material to be able to talk about.
Maturing. Is that what it is? I'm matured now.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. okay, let's see. We're going to take, a break in just a few minutes. So, I do want to let our listeners know, excuse me, if you want to call in with a question to Todd, call in at 619-789-4359. And, again, for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you would like to pose a question to Todd, feel free to type it in there. Now, when we are talking about ego, There's an aspect to it that the term overconfidence, you know, that sometimes, you know, we get this this belief, you know, that we know what we know and that is the way that it is. So how does overconfidence kind of play into ego management?
It's a lot of bad decisions come from overconfidence and overspending, overreacting, and that comes from being overconfident. You see it in athletics. You see it in business all the time. The key is definitely to stay humble and to see things as they really are. I know I keep repeating that, but that's really a big one. And in my When things are going well, you don't really think they're ever going to go bad. And when they're going bad, you don't think they're ever going to get good. At least that's how I always feel. And so being overconfident can definitely destroy, you know, and get involved in your ego. You start making decisions based on what you think instead of what's right. And that's when you get in trouble.
Yeah. Now,
with the people who have, you know, that maybe stronger than reality ego, a lot of times they will poo-poo, you know, ideas from others and criticisms, yeah, and any kind of contrary information to what their beliefs are. So when, you know, when we are, you know, kind of trying to, the idea of managing our ego, should we kind of really maybe pay attention to those kinds of circumstances and not maybe feel, you know, take it as like a personal insult, but just maybe learn from some of those differing opinions?
Is that what we call constructive criticism? Which is probably the hardest thing for anyone to take. I've been a member of Toastmasters for years, and the number one reason, I don't know if you know what Toastmasters is, a public speaking course and a communications course, but what most people quit it because they get a negative review. And so we're very sensitive in saying that anytime you take advice from somebody, you have to take it with a grain of salt. And it's easier said than done, especially if it's something that's, you know, they say, oh, it's not personal, it's business. Well, business is personal. You know, a lot of us spend more time at work than we do with our family. And it's important to us. So if you can take it with a grain of salt and If you're giving out criticism, try to sandwich it with two nice things: a nice thing in the beginning, and then the somewhat negative thing, and then a nice thing at the end.
Yeah. Well, you know, I spent when I was in the corporate world and training in human resources, I would, you know, we'd talk about that. But you know, when you know that, you know, you can just sense that sandwich happening. You know, it's like, I got the bread. I know what's coming next, and it's going to be followed. Let's get to the meat of it. So,
I have always been oversensitive as a person, so I never want to hurt anybody's feelings. It doesn't mean I don't sometimes, but to me, that's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm very much the same way. I just, you know, and when it comes time for criticism, I had back about 20 years ago, I had a roommate once, and he was the epitome of criticism. I mean, he would constantly, I don't mean to criticize, but, you know, it's like, there was always that. It's like, oh, it's like, let's go ahead and, you know, set it up here for the criticism. But, you know, but everybody around him just laughed, you know, because it was just, you know, it was just his way. And actually, it worked out great because most people didn't take it personally. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, that's just Ron being Ron, you know.
Some people get away with that, can't they? Some of us can't, but some can.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we return, we'll continue on talking. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Todd Lamentz, and we are talking about his book, Lose Your Ego, Gain the World. Again, you can find out more about Todd and his other books and speaking opportunities by visiting his website, which is www.toddlamentzauthor.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Todd back. Okay, Todd, we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. You know, one of the things that whenever I have an author on, I like to go to Amazon and read the reviews, you know, because to me that tells a lot about what, you know, what a book is about and what the readers kind of take from that. And one of the things that I noticed is that many of, and you have quite a few very positive responses to your book, which is great. You know, and you know, in today's world, I mean, you have an exceptionally large number, which tells me that that's well received. But you spend some time in there talking about that you offer various tools, you know, some self-quizzing, that whole aspect of kind of quizzing yourself, asking yourself questions, that whole reflective type of thought process or, you know, activity, that's kind of critical in being able to really gain an understanding of you know, where your ego is and how it's helping you or hurting you in life, correct?
Absolutely. And the beginning process is just that you have to make, you know, you have to sit down and say, can I be honest and can I be humble? And usually it takes some hardships, and anyone who's, you know, lived in this world for any amount of time has had their fair share of those. And when you can be honest, and, you know, I find a lot of times when people are successful, at least financially, that they're not good evaluators of why they are where they are. They seem to kind of bask in all the glory and you know, soak up all the attention of it. But well, a lot of times there was a lot of people that helped them get where they were. There was a lot of circumstances that helped get to where they were. So instead of just, you know, the pounding on their chest is I'm the greatest ever and that's why I'm where I'm at. And I used to be one of those idiots. I really was. And then you, when it goes away from you really fast, you realize that all the people that helped you and circumstances, too, were a big part of that.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, that's one thing I think that a lot of people don't really give a lot of credence to. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, work hard and, you know, put your nose to the grindstone and you're going to succeed, you know. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't, you know, take into account those, you know, maybe synchronistic kinds of happenings that catapult people forward, you know. And, you know, what makes
Absolutely.
A book kind of a bestseller all of a sudden when, you know, there are hundreds or maybe even thousands of books written on the same subject?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're the third big, largest population-wise country in the world. And in my opinion, we're one of probably, of those three, we're probably have the most lazy people out of the highest population. And you can, in America, just showing up for work is sometimes gets you promoted. I mean, because a lot of people just don't. A lot of people just don't do what they say they're going to do. But life is hard. It's always been hard. It's always going to be hard. And, you know, whatever you're going to get, it's not going to be easy. And it's not supposed to be easy. The old, what's the saying? If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
You want it to be hard because that's how you get separation. Having a healthy family is more work. Having a healthy body, eating well, exercising is more work than just staying home and not eating well. It actually costs more money to eat well, which isn't fair.
I know, it's just
but
not
it's
right.
It's more work to be healthier.
I know, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think the whole idea of putting forth an effort, you know, to make your life what you want it is really kind of the key. So, I mean, and a lot of times people, you know, that whether it's easy or not, you know, it's just a matter of putting forth the effort, you know, and some people just find effort challenging.
and you leverage yourself to say it's worth it. I mean, laziness will get you. Laziness is a disease, and it's gotten all of us. We just kind of don't think it's worth it. I'm from a family where they go to work for 10 hours, and then come home and they complain about work for 8 more hours. So they'd really spend about 18 hours at work. You know, so I kind of learned that, and it wasn't until I got older and I was around people who were, you know, very high achievers who realized that when they're off of work, they turn it off. You know, they know the right balance. Worrying yourself to death over a job that you're probably not going to have in a couple of years is just silly. It's just not very smart. And it's not good for your family. It's not good for yourself. And it's not good for – I talk to all of my corporate clients and especially, you know, the entry-level employees about, you know, what you do at work is only going to get you so far. If you want to get any further in work, you have to do things after work, whether it's work extra hours, go back to college, take any kind of communication class or something that betters you in your field. That's how you're going to get ahead. You're not going to do it just by showing up and going home every day.
Now, you know, you've talked to corporations. How does management feel about you telling people that their work isn't everything for in their life?
They love it because they don't have to do it themselves. They can hire me to come in there and tell them that their employees are stealing from them and they need to work harder. And it's what they want to say, but they're afraid to say, which I don't understand. When I ran my own companies, I had no problems telling people off. I don't know what's wrong with these guys. They'd rather have me do it.
That's all right. Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, one of those things, you know, with you know, speaking of corporations, I mean, I've worked in corporations, and, you know, when you have executives, higher-level executives, you know, CEO, CFOs, you know, those maybe in the upper management, ego seems to be kind of maintaining a sensible ego and perspective can sometimes be a challenge. Do you find that the individuals at that particular level, you know, again, I mean, we're talking about the work environment, you know, that they kind of project, feel like they have to project this strong sense of ego in order to maintain that image?
I find that the people who have the most power usually don't throw it around.
Oh.
They're usually the most humble. And it's usually the lower level, the mid-managers, you know, the I call it manageritis. They just got promoted and they think that their, you know, their idea of being the boss is they've been kicked around. Now they want to kick other people around. You know, people get promoted to management, middle management, and there's a misconception that they're supposed to do less. And I don't know where that came from. The reason you got promoted in the first place was because you were outworking everybody. So they're expecting you to do more work now that you're the manager. But those are problems that, you know, ego-wise, that, you know, I have to work more with the middle-level managers. The high achievers kind of.
Okay. So it seems then, you know, that because from what you said, you know, those who, you know, have the power, recognize they have the power, there isn't that need to display it. So is there like just a sense of self-confidence maybe that, you know, that they have that, you know, they don't feel that they have to project power?
Well, just an example. I used to work in auto finance. I worked for a very big auto finance company, and I used to take around the country. I would take, you know, the Ivy League or CEO level, the big level guys, and I'd take them around, and they'd go to car dealerships, and they would deal with the management of the car dealerships. And they're known as kind of an egotistical bunch, you know, sales managers and finance managers at car dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
And these finance managers, sales managers would talk down to these, because they didn't know who these guys were, and they talked about how much money they made. Well, they, you know, these are executives that made $500,000 a year plus. And these guys who are making not even near that are bragging to these guys about how much money they make and talking down to them. And I noticed that they never, not only did they not, you know, throw it in their face and stand up for themselves, but they never talked about it afterwards. Like, they didn't go home and or go back to the hotel and were upset about it. They didn't care, you know. And so I was very impressed by that, as far as egoless business.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, and it's, I guess, you know, when we're dealing with someone who has that heightened sense of self, then, is that we kind of, it seems like that they have this need to project, you know, themselves as being more important. Maybe there is a sense of insecurity, in a way, you know, that they feel they have to kind of, I am important. You know, this is who I am. This is what I make. This is what I have.
Right. And, you know, I think lesser, and I've been that person where I had to argue with everybody and I had to get people to submit to me. Well, you know, and even if somebody agrees with you, it doesn't mean they really agree with you. You know, you want to win the war and you want to be agreeable to them and you don't want them to go away with bad feelings. You know, I say always be agreeable. When somebody says something you don't agree with, just say, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, there's been things that I felt very strongly about 10 years ago. So strongly I would have died over them. Now, today, I don't believe in those things at all. You know, maybe there's more to what they're saying. Maybe they're not communicating the right way. Maybe I'm not hearing it the right way. But at this point, I'm going to agree with them, you know, because I don't want anything by getting into a debate with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I guess when you think about it, everybody's reality is their reality and it's their truth, you know, whether or not it's yours or, you know, anyone else's, really isn't what's important to them. It's their truth, you know, and
right.
You know, and you know, you said having someone submit, you know, to you, and I just kind of stood up with that one. It's like submit, you know, and I understand the idea of trying to of the need to get people to go along with the program, you know, is there a distinction between gaining support versus submitting? I mean, is that like two different approaches?
Well, when I find myself being too stubborn, there's usually a reason. If I'm forcing something too much, you know, then I'm just getting stuck on being stupid myself. You know, and I know that there's people in the world that are just unreasonable. They just are. And unfortunately, in business, you have to deal with them, you know.
Okay.
And sometimes they're your clients, and sometimes they're your coworkers, and sometimes you live with them.
Yep, I understand that. I understand that completely. excuse me. One of the aspects that you talk about in your book was is the idea of controlling emotions. You know, how emotions kind of fit into the whole picture of ego. So, how does it all fit? I mean, you know, is it a matter of managing our emotions, or you know, because ego is like, I mean, my emotions are me, you know, or
right.
Are they?
They're not. They really aren't. They're just feelings, and they pass, and they change like the weather, You know, I come from a family where we were proud of our faults. We were proud of having bad tempers. We were proud of telling people off. And so we became these people. And so, you know, the easiest and dumbest emotion to get is anger. It really is. And that's how I would react to everything, because that's, I was scared. So I would puff up and get angry at everybody and raise my voice and swear and say mean things. And I thought that was getting control of people, when all it really was doing was hurting people and making me look like an absolute idiot.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be proud of your faults. Your faults are to be worked on. They're to be ashamed of. You know, you acknowledge that you're a certain way, and if you find yourself in that way, well, stop doing it, or at least try to stop doing it. Do it less.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole idea is really to kind of become a better you, whatever, you know, that is. And, mm-hmm. The fact is, you know, we're human, you know, we all have our faults. We have all of our shortcomings, and failings. So, I mean, and it's okay, you know, that they're there, but then it's also good to be able to, you know, try and become better. You know, and I think, you know, in that, you know, like when you're talking about the anger and hurting others, and, you know, and also really hurt yourself, you know, get your blood pressure up, you know, your body, you know, body kind of goes into all kinds of negative types of reactions, you know. So, I mean, you're harming yourself too, you know. So, but, you know, it's one of those things where I think that, you know, if we can kind of manage the emotions, the more destructive emotions, you know, to ourselves and to others, then all the better.
And there's a lot of, you know, unhealthy relationships at work. You know, we spend so much of our days at work, and we spend so much of our time thinking about work. If there's someone at work who drives you nuts, someone who you have a lot of resentments for, it's very important that you forgive that person for yourself. You see this with people who will forgive someone who's on death row for killing a loved one. One of their loved ones was killed by this person. Well, they will forgive that person for their own, you know, sanity, for their own, you know, growth. And I know it's not as important a work relationship, but let's face it, some of these feuds and battles go on for years, you know, and these resentments. And I don't know if you've ever had a situation where someone doesn't like you at work and, you know, what's the term, throws you under the bus and says things that aren't true about you, and it gets into this, you know, like a middle school thing, but it happens with adults too. It happens every day, and everyone's had that experience at work. And try to forgive that person and let that go for your own sanity and for your own health, because, like you said, your blood pressure and your worry. I'm a worrier. So, hours and hours of worrying about something stupid that won't matter in a few years anyways.
Well, I have to tell you, I had one of the best worry teachers of all time, you know.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm still trying to overcome what she taught me. Yeah, my mother was just, she was like the king of worriers. I mean, it was just, I was, you know, and it wasn't probably, I mean, I didn't realize it until, you know, of course, going away to college and then coming back and you see things in a, you know, different perspective. And it's like, oh, my God, you know. And to this day, I'm amazed that I can, you know, catch myself from worrying, even though I still do, you know, I still fall into that.
Well,
I mean, that was such
a worrying. One time, it's terrible. You live it 1,000 times.
Jeez. You know, in forgiveness, boy, you know, I have, I don't know if you noticed that in the news, the two escaped New York prisoners that have been on the lam for like 10 days. One of them is the one who murdered my cousin. And you know, and his fiance, you know, kind of has gone through that forgiveness aspect, but with that whole, you know, escape and now all of this stuff, I mean, it just, you know, or he pops right back
up. It brings
up all
feelings back, right? Gotta be.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, and you know, it's just one of those things where you sometimes, you know, life circumstances happen, you know, that kind of, it's almost like an automatic reaction in many ways. You know, it's kind of like a, you know, something happens and then you know, maybe it's just through training or conditioning, but you just have this automatic reaction and then you kind of have to work through it.
Well, I know what you were saying earlier, you know, not to discredit what you said, because feelings are strong. I mean, they are who you are, and they do. They hurt. I've had some breakups in my life that have been as bad as deaths in the family. I mean, they were traumatic events for me, and physically, it made me physically ill and mentally ill for a long time. So feelings are, you know, they're what make us human, and it's hard. I can't even imagine that.
It's just wild. Now, you know, as far as how our ego can prevent us from our journey, are there, you know, what are certain aspects that you know, that ego can kind of take us off track from what it is that we want?
When you're using your ego to protect yourself, when you're using your ego because you're insecure, I think that's the thing where you have to let your ego go and let you know that it's okay. You don't have to act like you're perfect. You don't have to be a perfect employee, husband, wife, kid. It's not expected of you. You know, a lot of people say they're perfectionists. Well, they're not really perfectionists. You don't have to look at them very hard to see there's an area of their life that they're lacking a lot. They're just saying that because they want to justify having controlling behavior. So when your ego is really, you'll know when your ego is, because you just start to, like I said before, believe your own BS. You know, and that's when it becomes very unhealthy.
Yeah, very much. And now, you know, we talked a little bit about worry. But stress. How does stress fit into a sense of ego?
This goes back to perspective.
Okay.
I have to take a deep sigh, because this has been, you know, I've worried about jobs where I just thought that this was, you know, the end of my life, and I've had businesses fail. I was fired from my very own company that I started that had my namesake, so I know about loss in the business world. So keeping it in perspective, and knowing that this is not the end of the world, you know, it really isn't. If you can solve all your problems with money, you don't have any problems.
Yeah. So, you know, from like this hour that we've been talking, it really seems like
it seems like that the key
is kind of
keep our ego in check, to kind of be a little bit humble, you know, to recognize, you know, that we're not perfect, and, you know, but we can work toward being better, but also just to have a more balanced life. I mean, to me, it seems like all of those kind of will contribute to a healthy sense of self.
Absolutely, and humility being the most important one. And I think, you know, for me, it seemed like a surrender, and I am a very aggressive, you know, sales-oriented, you know, person. Mm-hmm. So for me, it seemed like to be humble and to would make me weaker, as opposed to conquering and putting people in their place. And I found it just to be the opposite. I found that when I deal with people that way, and I'm more sincere, I think sincerity really shows. And when you show that you really care about somebody, you know, they know that right away. And even when hard times, you kind of see that's what you're made of. And if you handle things that way every time, you're going to be successful more often than you were before.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, all right. Well, you know, Cass, we're down to the last few minutes here. One of the things I kind of like to finish with, and it seems that we've talked about it in a roundabout way, is that one of the things you talk about is leveraging your life, you know, and is that pretty much kind of sum up what it is that we're talking about?
It does. Just keeping everything in perspective, and trying to be a better person. And that's what I'm working on. I've got a long ways to go, but I'm better than I used to be. I liked that. I heard this religious program a while and it said, don't judge me right now. I'm under construction. I'm in seed form. I'm not sure what I'm capable of.
Okay.
And
yeah,
I like that,
wait.
I'm not sure what any of us are capable of. We know we're capable of great things. You always hear people say, you know, what potential someone has. Well, we all have a lot of potential. It really doesn't matter. It matters what you produce. Potential has no value. Producing does, though.
It does. It does. Yeah, and really, I mean, that's one of the books I have was called Joy Potential. You know, and it's the fact that we have that potential every day. You know, to be joyous and happy. It's just a matter of taking action and doing it, and being happy. Yeah.
Who decides for you if you're successful? You decide. We decide if we're successful. We decide if we're happy. Nobody else does it for us. No matter how the rest of the world acts, it's still going to be up to us at the end of the day.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I am all for redefining success, you know. Any final words there, Todd, for listeners?
No. Well, I've really enjoyed being on your show, and I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And again, people can you do obviously a lot of speaking at companies and also work with businesses. So people can contact you through your website for that.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you spending the time with me today, Todd. It's really been great, and I've got my ego in check, and I'm going to leverage my life better now.
Thank you so much, Robert.
It has been my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Todd Lamentz, author of Lose Your Ego, Gain the World, and also author of Think Thin, Feel Amazing, and Leverage Your Life. Again, you can find out more about Todd by visiting his website, which is www.toddlamentzauthor.com. And again, there is a direct link to his website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.